is your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Hello and good morning. What a terrible week it was. It was just horrible. Stocks remain volatile. We thought they'd quiet down a little bit. We hoped they would quiet down a little bit. And then really we just ended the week so terribly it made the whole week feel bad. And yes, we were down a little bit for the week. But it was just a really awful Friday, right? Heading into the three-day weekend and everybody really worried about the Chinese and all that stuff. It's interesting that we worry about things that we didn't worry about 2 months ago. That becomes the big thing, but nothing has really changed. It's just because the market is volatile now. We now have to point a finger at what it is that bothers us. Whether it's oil prices, which, by the way, have gone back up, so I guess we can't say that that collapse is what bothers us because it's not collapsed anymore. And so we look around. And right now it is the Chinese. There's no question about that. That's the big worry, that their markets are going to implode. But given the reality of 1% GDP, that's how much stuff we sell to China, very little, it amounts to 1% of our GDP. That's it. One. Just not a big deal. A bigger deal in other parts of the world. But it's enough right now where it's real slow heading into a weekend, right? Three-day weekend. Why not to make it four? Volume is low, and it's just ugly anyway. Why not take it down? Why not? What is there any reason to buy today? And so, you know, it's one of those things where you look at from time to time, and you recognize that markets are just, well, it's just ugly right now. It's just ugly. And then you'll wake up one day, the market will just kind of like have a rally. Let's pretend it's Tuesday, and the market rallies. Yeah, no big deal. Just, you know, it's just up for the day, let's just say. And suddenly, everybody is not going to be singing the same tune. So we really just kind of shift with whatever news flow there is, whatever direction the market's going. We don't really think about the market moving up over time. We think about it in short duration. Such short duration that it really throws off all of our perspective. Now, I had a funny thing happen last week. I thought it was, well, it's interesting, sad, kind of. And so I had a caller. I was on Kevin's program, and somebody called in and was really, seemed to be quite angry with me. I didn't know if it was a joke or not. It didn't seem like it, but seemed to be quite angry because I am optimistic. And I thought about it, and I thought, and I said, you know, everybody says it's a Pollyannish thing, and, you know, yeah, you said it. I didn't want to say it, but you said it. That's what I think you are, is a Pollyanna. And I thought, well, okay. That's what people do say when you disagree that the world is not ending. If somehow your facts of the world never ending conflict with theirs that it's going to end this time, because it is a big bet that this time it will, because we've bet that hundreds of times before, but this time it really is. When it conflicts, then people are not serious thinkers. Now, I don't have a, I mean, I've been doing this for an awful long time. I don't have a, you develop a little bit of a thick skin, right? You know, you've been in the business 35 years, which means you're wrong for 35 years. You know, you think the market's going to do this, it does that. You buy things that go down. You have plenty of, I'm wrong. I'm wrong a lot. You know, I don't know what the future is going to be. Shame on me. And especially if you're, you know, in the media, if you're going to have an opinion, if you're going to put your opinion out there, then you really do have to not take everything personal. So I don't want to sound like I'm taking it personal because I'm not. It's really a reflection of what a sad place to be. What a sad place to be where it's so frustrating to you that there are people that frustrates you terribly, that there are people that are believing that, like all of the other times in history, we'll muddle through this. All of the world wars, all of the, you know, nuclear annihilation was certain. All of the fact that we should be walking around in gas masks, that was sure. All the greenies were telling us, years ago, that by now, well, actually before now, we would all have gas masks. And the world would be orange because of all the pollution. And yet we have billions of people more, and then we just make up stuff for that's going to, well, now, but it's now, it's, you know, global melting or ice is, whatever it is. There's always a problem. But mankind's always solved those problems. But if you feel like they're going to solve this problem too today, apparently that's offensive. And it is an odd and sad thing to me that we can't look at history honestly. We can't think of it in the sense that it always has worked out because we've had better technology. We've moved forward. We've somehow figured things out. I don't know. Maybe we are going to enter into a new dark age. But I wouldn't bet that. What I'd do is bet that we'll muddle through whatever it is we're worried about, right? The deficit, Obama, whatever it is. But it's not Pollyannish to feel that you're going to muddle through, that things are okay. And when markets have fluctuations, which they do and always have, and I really believe always will, it's not world ending. You know, prior to the, you know, 10%-ish correction we had, we have 20, 30, 40, 50% corrections already had transpired in some sectors, in some stocks, and we'll talk about those later. But we have had full-blown bear markets, so everybody's walking around worrying about or wondering if we're in a bear market. Well, it depends on what company you're in, right? Many companies have already fallen into bear market territory. But is that an important thing? Does that matter? I think it matters to be buying, yes. It matters that stocks are down 20, 30, 40, 50%. I like the sounds of that when I'm trying to buy. I don't like it when I'm holding them. But am I holding them for the short term? Am I holding them for income for the long term? It all depends. And this idea that we're going to time the market, of course, is absurd. Nobody can do that. Certainly not consistently. I know there's this guy over here, there's a guy on the internet over there, and there's a guy over here with a newsletter. And bad news sells. It really, really does. But just remember, it really isn't Pollyannish. It's not the people who have a long-term, opportunistic, optimistic outlook don't think. They think better. That's the weird thing. That's the weird when people are like, you know, tugging on their beard and they're just, you know, kind of get that gnarly look of how worried they are about whatever it is, right? So just, oh, the Fed this, and if they raise interest rates here, and then, you know, and I can't believe Europe's doing that, and the Chinese this, and just the list of horrors goes on. That serious thought versus, you know, I just don't think that Europe is going to implode. Oh, it didn't. Well, you were just a Pollyanna. Okay, but I was a correct Pollyanna. Greece did not lead to Europe imploding. And with absolute certainty since 2011, the bears have said it would. But they don't have to apologize for that. Ever. Ever. Because they're serious thinkers. And I think we have to be careful of that in our own minds, in our own thoughts. It's not, and I'm not just painting a picture for why I'm making a case that things are perfect, because they're not. They're, like, I think I started this by saying the market was ugly. It is ugly. It's horrible. It is. It just looks like it wants to go down every day. Every day. So why don't we get out, right? Well, the answer is, of course, because we'll wake up the next day and it'll start going up, and then we're real sure it looks like it's going to go up every day. That's why. Because you can't time it. You just can't. I'm sorry. I know you want to believe you can. You want to believe that guy on the newsletter can. Or you heard about the guy that called the 2008. Or you think that every little hiccup here is another 2008. You want to relive the past all the time. The past won't be relived. It will rewrite itself in the future. History does not repeat itself. It rhymes, and we need to learn from that. Then every market correction doesn't look like the last one, does it? In spite of two 50% corrections in the last 15 years, the market's up. It's up. That's not Pollyannish. That's a fact. That's a simple fact. In spite of the two worst bear markets of your life, the big tech bubble, boom, the big 9/11 tragedy led to a nice recovery, which led to a terrible real estate market, over-leverage, implosion, the Great Recession. Prices decline another 50% again. And the market's up. But what this does, instead of seeing this as, wow, is that ever resilient? Isn't that amazing? No. If you talk optimistically about the future, about the fact that people are going to live well past 100 years old, that there are so many people we all know and love right around us, that are alive. Alive. Not alive in a nursing home, alive. They're alive. Alive. Because of medical technology. We're on the cusp of nobody on the planet, nobody, goes hungry. Nobody. We could do that now if it weren't for human beings getting in the way. Politicians, if you will, thieves, whatever, however you want to phrase it, thugs that steal. Disease wiped out. I mean, you know, disease is curable, right? No more malaria and things like that. These are incredible times to live in. Absolutely incredible. And so when markets hiccup, they hiccup. Come on. Really? Is this supposed to go straight up? Doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. But I don't believe it's all going to end either. I don't. And I really don't think that makes me a Pollyanna. I think it means that I actually have looked at history. I've actually thought about all the things that have gone wrong. Not just here, but abroad. world wars, you know, people that, like the Russians. I mean, it was just, they're really awful people. Those of you who are in your 50s and 60s and older, just, you know, you remember this great. The Cold War was real. It was cold and scary. I mean, pencil it off, kind of like, you know, pencil off, Pearl Harbor, World War II. We handle it. No big deal. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it's a really big deal when the market goes down 50%, twice. But it's still up. Not up a little, up a lot. A lot. A lot. And so, I don't know what the market's going to do next week. I don't know what it's going to do next month. Except it's going to be volatile at times. Because that's what it does. You don't get 10% for your life. Because it just goes in a straight line. And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? I mean, it really is. You can pick up companies at tremendous discounts from time to time. Not every day, but from time to time. The market, which is really not the thing, it is a group of companies, real businesses, real companies that sell things, that service things, make things we want. And when we own them, they often pay us dividends. They often pay us rising dividends. Overall, they've gone up a lot in income. But we fixate on short-term movements as if we were to buy the business down the street. And every year, it seemed to just give us more and more and more income. But we decided one day to get it appraised every single day. And when it went down in value because somebody thought the economy might be weak on the East Coast or globally or China or whatever, it went down for a day. And we go, oh, my gosh, what should we do? What should we do? Should we sell it? We better sell it, because it could go down tomorrow. And no, nobody would act like that, because we don't price businesses every day like that. Oh, yeah, we do. On the exchanges, we do. So we have the opportunity every single day to overreact and do silly things. Every day. Warren Buffett puts it well. I'm going to leave it at this. The market is the most efficient mechanism anywhere in the world for transferring wealth from impatient people to patient people. Charlie Munger, his partner, said that he and Warren were born with a special gene. They could defer their gains. They didn't have to have everything today. And most people don't have that gene, Charlie said. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Perhaps you have a comment. I'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, please do ring us up. And if you prefer, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I hope you all are having a great Labor Day weekend. End of summer, huh? Wow. Wow. I guess it's the, quote, official end. It's also the official beginning of the epic weather in Boise has, right? And maybe the end of the fire season, which would be nice as well, of course. Hey, our number here is 580-5436-580-KIDO, and our email is dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phone. Let's go to Jim. Jim.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Awesome. Awesome. Jim, how are you?
I'm back.
Yes.
I can't leave for a few weeks, leaving you in charge of the store without the place going to hell in the handbasket.
I know. You're stuck. You can't. You are not allowed to leave anymore.
It's a real bummer. Well, anyway, I mean, I listened to that call Monday.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. You know, Kevin takes one call, and this guy was, in my opinion, the caricature of the stereotype of a Neanderthal. I'll tell you what. I don't think the guy was real. I mean, he was a fictional character, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, it was weird. But, and right before I left, you know, the last call you got at the end of your show, you were kind of berating, Rand Paul.
Yeah.
And a Rand Paul, or Ron Paul, one of the two, you know, called in and
it was Ron Paul, though.
Too bad. It's too bad you didn't have longer to talk with him. That was entertaining.
I sure don't mind it. You know, I love it that people will call up and disagree. I really do.
Well, I mean, those are the more interesting calls, for sure.
Absolutely. No, it's good. It's good to have the dialogue. It's good to go back and forth. The thing about the call on Monday was that whether it was real or somebody was making a joke, I don't know. It doesn't matter. There are so many people, maybe not to that extreme, but there are so many people that really feel that way. They feel along those lines. They are like they're going to do a happy dance when the world has a recession, or a happy dance if we have a currency crisis somewhere.
Well, you know,
if Europe would only implode, it would make their day. It's just this desire to be right about the end of a decent financial time, or however you want to phrase it, is sad to me that people live in that world.
Well, it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, when it rains, strange creatures come out. It's like, you know, worms or something, you know, materialize. But I remember, you know, for instance, you know, right after Obama got elected,
yeah,
there were a couple of guys that called the show, had nothing to do with finances. They were talking about the revelations and the end times.
Right.
And I thought, good grief. You know, right. I mean, do these guys actually listen on a more or less regular basis to a financial show? And then, you know, I mean, it's really strange.
Yeah, and I think it's very sad. It really is. Because, I mean, to imagine living in a world that fearful, that negative all of the time, when all you're doing is figuring out, going to the blogs that tell you how the world is ending and how this is going to be terrible and that's terrible, and that's all your inputs, well, it's kind of hard to have a good day, in my opinion.
Well, you know, but the thing is, people make plans, and I guess people need to make plans. But, you know, the problem with planning is things can go wrong. It's like you've heard the old expression, rules were made to be broken. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, plans were made to go astray, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe, you know, in retirement, your plan to buy half of Mexico has to be put on hold, you know. That maybe, you know, you're not going to have quite the financial whatever that you thought you were going to, but that's life.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. And health issues, everything. Life is terribly uncertain. And frankly, life is hard. It's hard. It's hard. Families have issues. Half of couples now are divorced. Life is hard. And that doesn't even include the fact that people, it seems like every week we have, you know, a client that finds out they've got terminal cancer or something. You know, it's an ongoing part. Life is hard. What's hard.
Well, see, that's the thing. You may be worried about your 401k until you find that you have cancer, and all of a sudden finances don't mean much.
Correct. Absolutely true. Think of every crisis in your life. A couple of years ago, I went through a divorce personally, and I'm just telling you, it's just one of those things that everything else shuts down. What is important is no longer important.
Nope. Yeah.
Every crisis, whether it's from a teenage daughter that has gone astray, a son that's on drugs, a death in the family, a parent, a divorce. It doesn't matter. You just suddenly go, your own health. You just suddenly go, what's important here?
You know, I mean, that's a good example. I mean, you know, when a parent, I guess every parent, every good parent, when they have a kid, you know, even before the kid's born, they've got plans for the kid, right?
Right.
They know what the kid, you know, I mean, the kid's going to do great things. And then when they don't, I mean, it's got to be heartbreaking. I mean, I've never been through that, but, you know, it's got to be. And you've got to have extreme optimism and be Pollyannish to be a parent.
Yes, because they will. I have two girls, and they both have gone astray at times and then come back. So it's a yes.
Well, you know, I view the thing as, from me personally, you know, as far as people getting uptight about things, as in a football analogy, the Pollyannas playing the naysayers, and I'm on the sidelines. You know, whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
true.
But I've got
nothing
financial.
Well, speaking of that, we did well last night, didn't we?
Well, yeah. I did listen to most of the game.
Yeah.
And both sides screwed up. Washington does not have an offense. And it was a good game. It was a good game.
It was. But let's give some credit to the Bronco defense, because when you have a good defense, you make the other team look like they have no offense.
True. But I listened to it.
Okay.
True, and maybe it was a pass rush, but toward the end, I mean, their quarterback, I mean, he was always overthrowing his receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's the first game. So.
I know. I'm glad we got through that one. All right.
Football season. So anyway, have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thanks for the call, Jim. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Day. And our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. With Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Email from last week, or during the week here. And you know, if you want to shoot any emails over, go to our website. You know, if you think of something during the week you want to talk about, you want me to address, you have a suggestion for the program, love to hear from you. It's PetsoFinancial.com. PETSO, not the sauce, PetsoFinancial.com. Also, the podcasts are there, and articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning. Now, Joe, thank you for the email. Joe asks, what sectors, with the recent downturn, what sectors are good to be looking at? Are there any? Are there any bargains? And great question. That is exactly the question you want to be asking all the time. What is cheap, what is dear, and adjust your portfolios accordingly. Now, that doesn't mean all or none, as we've discussed many, many times. So to the point, oil is the obvious one, right? I mean, that's the obvious down sector, but I think you have to be careful there. The worst news in the sector is still coming. That's still coming. That's going to be the dividend cuts, even by some of the majors, I believe they're going to cut, the major high-quality companies. I think their stock prices probably reflect that, however, but that's we don't know. There'll be an instant reaction to that. We are going to have bankruptcies in this sector. There's many over-levered companies there. You know, you might miss out on the Grand Slam home run, you know, on the $5 stock that everybody thought was going to go out of business, doesn't. And it goes up fivefold. And some of those will. But I think if you buy quality, you're going to do very well in that sector. And it doesn't have to all be done today, but I do think it's time in that sector to do that, to buy. And then individually, some stocks have been blowing up. They have at different times, whether it's even just a one-day blow-up, a Netflix type of thing where it goes down a lot. Even Apple has fallen mightily from its all-time highs. It's way up, of course. And it's barely down for the year, but it's gone from its high. So there are a lot of stocks out there individually that are extremely high quality names that really have come back down quite a bit, quite a lot. So you can look into those areas as well. Now, let me add to the oil as far as the sector to your question. The other sectors that I like are the industrials. And now, this one's hard. This one's hard. I have always avoided the airlines. Always. And, but with fuel prices down and everybody not liking the sector, well, maybe, just maybe, it's worth a peek. But anyway, so there's one sector there, so the transportation companies, but the industrials I particularly, and what do I mean by the industrials? I mean manufacturers, because their underlying costs for energy have fallen very substantially. They are out of favor. So companies like your chemical companies, one of their largest inputs, of course, is natural gas and petroleum. So these companies are in a much better position going forward. So there's a couple of them for you. Joe, thank you. And our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net for our program. So shoot those over. We've got to take a quick break, and hopefully you'll give us a call when we come right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Love to hear from you. And also, of course, we'd love to hear from you via email, dave@petsofinancial.net. Now, you know, we just talked about some of the sectors there that are looking really good. I didn't even mention, though, the overseas. This is where some amazing bargains, especially if you're willing, want to go to the emerging markets. There's just no good news there, right? And I am certainly not saying you should chase into Brazil. You should chase into places like that that are commodities-based, that are in chaos, that have corrupt governments, that have run amok for a long time, and they just, you know, are really entrenched. So they've got some really entrenched problems. But overall, and this is one of the reasons, you know, we'll talk some more about this in the future, but on indices, when you just simply go to an index, doesn't make sense to me, because you're forced to own each particular country, no matter whether it's a bargain, whether it's incredibly expensive, whether they are in the midst of a horrifying economy or not. You must own the percentages in them and just simply suffer with it. So those are, in my mind, is one of the biggest problems. But as we look overseas, so many different bargains seem to be popping up, so many of them. So, again, I didn't want to just go – the question was in the sectors, and I thought, well, maybe we should probably talk a little bit about overseas as well. All right. Now, as I started off this hour talking about how many stocks are down so much, whether it's 20, 30, 40, 50%, and whether we're in a bear market or we're not, or does it matter? It really doesn't. When markets are bouncing around, whether it's down 10% or whether it's down 11 or whether it's down 20, because that would then technically say we're in a correction or now we've gone into a bear market. Many stocks have gone into a bear market already, and they do even in the midst of a bull market, because there can be individual news on companies, and that has certainly happened. Many stocks are down a ton, an absolute ton, and the question is, really, can you bring yourself to buy? And the interesting thing was, and the Wall Street Journal reported this basically, you know, it was about a week ago, that when that so far, individual investors are okay. They're doing fine. They're not bailing out. And so I'm wondering, are we getting it? Do we think so? I don't know. I think part of it is this. And again, I'm guessing. Individual investors who are in the market get it. They get it. They get that it's, you don't have a free ride that just goes up. They get it. There's so much cash in the sidelines. There's so many people hunkered down. So many people got out in 2008, never came back, never did. So many people have let cash pile up. They haven't invested it. So the people that are in, and again, this is just my own guess as to why investors defy all the pundits by they're staying in. They're not as concerned as you would the commentators apparently are. And since they're not, I think it's because those folks get it. They get it. They get that markets are volatile. They're in it for the long term. They're not in it for the short term. Those that aren't in the market haven't been in the market. So now they feel justified. I don't know. I have no idea why. I still don't know why people refuse to be in, but they do. To the tune of trillions of dollars is sitting, losing money to inflation every year. Sad. Waiting for I don't know what. And reading all of the negative sites to stay into the where they're at. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We've got to take our final break this hour. Please do ring us up. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. That's our number, and we'd love to hear from you. Also, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Hey, our education segment, this is something that's come up a couple times here lately, and I promised to get to it. So in our education segment, again, some more questions came in on active versus passive management. So, of course, I know you think it's the same discussion that we've had many, many times before. And I suppose it is to a degree. But I want to talk a little bit about it and talk about the risk of indexing. There is actually a fairly substantial risk to it. So I do want to touch on that as well. So we'll talk about that and why indices, especially when you're drawing income, can be an issue. So we'll talk about that active versus passive in our education segment at the top of the next hour. Now, we talked again, as I do a lot, about life expectancy, science, how things have just really changed so much. And they have. They've changed so very much for how long we're living, how well we live. And so the question is now, are people ready to live to 100? Do they have the money to do that? Now, that's an interesting question. It's a huge concern for a lot of people. But here's the thing, too. What we have to recognize is that we're not just talking about living a long time. And when we think, we have to try to think exponentially, right? We have to think different than our own linear thought process, which is, my parents, my grandparents, whatever it is, they got old and then they we're in a nursing home, and I don't want to do that. I sure hope that doesn't happen to me. And I don't think it's good that people are, you know, alive, you know, for 10 years in a nursing home, don't have any idea who they are. Okay? I get that. I get that there is that concern. But as we cure diseases, or at least treat them, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, the way we've done with heart disease and cancer, it changes the dynamic. But are we prepared financially? So when you just kind of like, no, and I don't care. Well, what about her sitting next to you? Because she probably does care when she's 95 and out of money, or 100. It is an interesting, we're going to have a very interesting time the next few years, aren't we, as we grapple with these huge questions. And they are huge. What are we going to do about Social Security? What are we going to do about Medicare, healthcare in general? These are all massive concerns, problems, but they are problems. But this is what I mean by that when we focus only on the problem. It's a problem caused by us living a long time. So us living a long time, that's a problem? Or is that a blessing? Is that something we can overcome? Of course it is. Of course it is. And that's not Pollyannish. It's how do we perceive everything in the world? Right? I remember hearing a pastor one time that said, you know, maybe I read it. I don't know what it was, but it was one of those simple things, simple reflections, right? It's for people who have faith, they see God in everything. For people who don't, they see the absence of God. I know where it was. It was the Soviet Union orbiting the Earth. Went up and said, I saw clear off into space and I did not see God. 3 months later, what was it? John Glenn goes up and he says, I saw God everywhere around this beautiful world. It's the same thing. How do we perceive how long we're going to live? It's a blessing with problems, yes. We'll talk to you in the afternoon.
Send off summer with the biggest back-to-school party of the year. 4Winds Ford presents Taste of Country Fan Jam. Hey, hey. Friday, September 11th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater featuring Big and Rich. Get ready for a night of incredible entertainment as the best party band in the country returns to rock the Cheeky's main stage with special guest Eli Young Band. Logan Mize and Chase Bryant. Tickets on sale now at ictickets.com. Don't miss the party, vendor booths, and a very special tribute to the men and women serving in our military. The Taste of Country Fan Jam is back. Friday, September 11th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. Presented by Corwin Ford. Brought to you in part by your 9 area Taco Time restaurants, 8 Feathers Distillery, and Little Caesars. Get your tickets now at ictickets.com.
I'm Dave Pezzo, and these, of course, are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not the stations. They're not my broker-dealers. These are my opinions. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. We're trying to think through things in a non-emotional way, especially when they get tumultuous like this, and to really turn down the noise just a little bit. Let's just turn it down. Dial it down a little bit. Let's think. So what we have in this world, in the investment world, right, is we have something in stocks, in the market, in our ownership of little businesses. That's what we want to think like. We want to think like Warren Buffett, right? We want to think like John Templeton. We want to think about our ownership as owners, not pieces of paper and ticker symbols that trade. And should we be buying or selling or moving? And what about this meltdown or that? Because when we do that, we become very susceptible to the doomsday, right? To digging in and finding out more about Shemitahs and blood moons. Like, really? Seriously? I mean, who thinks about that in the abstract, right? I mean, who sits around and goes, I wonder about blood moons. Do you think that that affects the market? Yeah, I think every 7 years, the Jewish Shemitah, whatever that is, I don't know, some kind of religious thing, every 7 years the market melts down, but except that it doesn't. There's some kind of religious calendar that runs the stock market. Well, who thinks of that? I mean, that's absurd. Like, you know, oh, well, I think I better go buy that book and learn more about it. Really? Who would do that? Well, I'll tell you who doesn't. It's people who are fussing about it anyway. They aren't thinking like long-term investors. So they start to worry, they start to dig, and they get confirmation bias as they dig deeper and deeper and deeper. And then pretty soon they're caught in this real weirdness web, right, of believing in things that were prior totally unbelievable to them. They would never have done this. Never would somebody stop and think, yeah, I think in the future I'm probably going to be watching the calendar, or I mean, looking for astrological signs of what the market's going to do. Seriously, nobody starts doing that. So we all have to be careful. We all have to be careful. What are our inputs? What are we putting in our tiny little heads? What are we doing? All right, I want to talk about this, our education segment. I want to talk about passive versus active, and in a little different way, okay? Because I've talked about this many, 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 many times, and I know we need to talk about it a lot because that's all you hear about is passive and active. And all you hear about now, because all the money is going over to Vanguard, because all the money has been outperforming in passive world, why has it been outperforming? Because the best performing sector is the 70 giant stocks in the U.S. 70. That's it. I mean, that's who controls the index. Basically, really, the top 25 do, but I'll give 70. 70 of the S&P 500. Because it's a cap-weighted index. What does a cap-weighted index mean? It means that the bigger stocks have a bigger weighting. So much so that the bottom hundreds don't even matter. They really don't. They're so small compared to the big guys. So the whole index is being driven by the giants. So in one country, the biggest country, the best country, the most dominant, so it's not unimportant, but one country, one small group of stocks, compared to the thousands that are out there, that's what's been driving it. But that doesn't stop the academics to say things like, you know, you can't outperform. But the reality is, as we've talked about before, you can't. There's actually many different companies have, many different managers have. Now, my hero, John Templeton, beat the S&P by 5 percentage points a year for 35 years he ran a mutual fund. 35. I mean, it's not even close. Do you know what the difference between 10% and 15% does to, you know, like a lump sum of $10,000? You're right. It's millions. Not like 2 million. It's millions over that period of time. It's not like a little bit more money. It's a lot. When you compound money faster, it's a big deal. Well, you don't have to go find John Templeton. And as I've discussed before, there are actually companies out there that have done it with hundreds of different managers over decades of time. Not every time. Just like almost all the time. So it does. Okay, so let's just go with what I said before. Okay, I've talked about this a lot, and we'll come back to it because it is the news now. It's the only way to really manage money is passively. I disagree totally. And fundamentally, if you just – here's one fundamental comment regarding that, and we've talked about it a lot. It just simply goes totally against my grain where if tech stocks in 1999 have grown from a small percentage of the S&P 500 up to 35% of the S&P 500, we must now buy more. And then if they go up some more, we buy more again. In other words, we have to buy higher and higher and higher, and we have to do what on the other end? Well, you know, the banks that weren't performing very well, and they're down, 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 down. We got to sell those. So you buy high, sell low constantly in the index. it just doesn't fundamentally make sense to me. Okay? Now, I think it's a fine enough choice, and I'm really not here to tell you that if you believe in passive investing, you're wrong. Okay? But here is something I want to put a twist on it because it's very, very important to understand. Downside protection. You have got to protect the downside, especially when you're drawing income. Okay? Well, does a passive index do that? And the answer, of course, is no. It doesn't do that at all. It doesn't do that at all. So when we take, for example, what has transpired, say, since 1965. Okay? 1965 through today. Well, 2014, sorry. Through 2014. If you were to take out 6% a year out of the S&P 500, the S&P 500 averaged 10. Follow this. It averaged 10, so third grade math tells us 10 is more than 6. I can do that. You ran out of money, actually, in 1992. Wasn't even close. But here's the weird thing. Now, if you take all of the dates and you reverse them, okay? So you take all the dates, like 1965, you know, pretending it earned 8%, and then 66 earned 12, and so on and so forth, okay? But this time you reversed it, and we went backwards from 2014. What did it earn in 2014, and so on? Well, obviously the average is the same, correct? Right? You got that. Forward, backwards, upside down, mix it up. It's always going to be the same on average, right? If you never took a dime out, the order of the distributions would not matter. Averages come back if you never touch the money. But what are you doing in retirement? You're living on the money. You're touching it. So now if we reverse those very numbers that you ran out in 1965, you ran out of money. You're done. It's over. If you reverse it and start in 14 back to 1965, your money's gone up 12-fold. I kid you not. And it has the exact same average. That's the impact of withdrawals. It's enormous. It's so enormous. It's such a big deal. It's such a big deal that you have got to grasp this. It's the problem in retirement is when you take withdrawals. It's not a problem when the market goes up 15%, you take out 6. We all got that. But that's not what markets do. They correct. They have some volatility. And when they go down and you want that check, it is so destructive to the portfolio. It often causes a death spiral. So we have to protect the downside. And the S&P does not do that. It doesn't do that. So how do we go from running out of money in 1991 using the exact same numbers and then just simply reverse them around and you have 12-fold the money doing the same thing? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Well, it does to our linear brain. And understanding that markets don't ever do normal. They do way better and way worse than, quote, normal, than the average. This is how markets work. But our brain doesn't work that way. So we deceive ourselves. So when we think about how do we protect the downside, well, what you start thinking about what are the protectors. One is income. One is income. You have income-generating stocks, like dividend-paying stocks. And they do. They do. They're the best performers in down cycles. Not a down day, not a down week. This is where we get, where people look at and say, how come my portfolio went down, 10% or whatever it is, in the last 2 months or something, even though I've got, like some cash or bonds or whatever. Because sometimes the correlation is basically one-on-one on a very short basis. But over time, these things sort themselves out. So if we take that and we have very, very low downside capture, and I'm not saying you should be in hedge funds that charge ridiculous amounts of money for expenses. But you stay in low and active. Active management tends to, not all, there's bad active management, no question about it. It boosts your chances of success in retirement. In fact, it boosts it so much, it's just literally off the charts. When we take money out, indexes perform horribly. They're absolutely horrible. It's hard to find a worse performing investment when you are withdrawing money. It really is. It truly is. Because you're not focusing on the exact characteristics to try to succeed. Because the only objective you have in retirement, we've got to get this. This is something that we hear a lot, okay? So how's our portfolio performing? Well, let's say you're in retirement. Then the answer is, are we keeping up with inflation for the income? Yes. Then it's fine. No, what I mean is, in the market, are we doing okay in the market? That's not a relevant question. You've got to be gearing your portfolio not for the market, but for income for life that you can never outlive. And not just that, cost of living adjusted income you can never outlive. Relative to market performance is an absolutely irrelevant thing. It doesn't have any bearing on your portfolio. And this is why we always want to get back to that basic planning. What is your plan? What is your long-term plan? What are you trying to accomplish? What do you want your investments to do? And if we don't have that as our compass, our guide, our North Star, then it's easy to have the noise deflect us, isn't it? Right? We become concerned about things that have nothing to do with our portfolio or the short-term nature of things. We become concerned about short-term fluctuations, and we are willing to trade. We don't mean to. We don't like get up one day and go, you know, I think what I'm going to do is I am going to trade my long-term stability, and I'm going to put it in a tin can. I'm going to put it in the bank. And so I have short-term guarantees, and I'm going to throw out my long-term plan. That's what I think I'll do, because that sounds wise. No, nobody gets up in the morning and says that. Nobody plans to do that. So we have to set our star, and we go there. And then when we get drifting off, and we're worried, and we're concerned, and there's people talking to us, and they're yakking in our ears about the end of the world stuff, or they're yakking in our ears about you know, the world is going, again, doesn't matter if you fall off the boat on the left or the right side, okay? Because the whole world, the whole globe is going to burn up. We're going to flood. We're going to this. We're going to that. It's an ecological disaster coming. Or it's an economic disaster because the Chinese this or that. Or the Fed this or that. I mean, the list just goes on and on that we're twisting and turning. And we should buy this and sell that. And, oh, my gosh, it just goes. And if we don't get that compass back on, we say, no, that's where I'm going, right there. Then we sway. And we move. And we trade our long-term stability for short-term safety. Or perceived safety. And we've now entered the dark side. It's over. Because when do you get back in? When does it look clear? And when you sold out in 2008, when does it look okay? Has it looked okay? Or do we keep reading about how it's not okay? And the deficits are going to kill us. And they are a problem. Don't misunderstand. The Federal Reserve, it's all phony. It's all phony. It's all phony. You know what? It's not phony. Corporate profits are not phony. And we tell ourselves how phony everything is, and we confirm that by digging in deeper and deeper, and we miss this basic point. What are your goals? What am I trying to do? What am I trying to do? You see, when you do pay attention to what it is you're trying to do, which is to not run out of money, and you put the portfolio together, Do you know that actually 100% of the time, by being careful and selective, 100% of the time, U.S. large cap managers outperform the index. Crazy. 100%. Moderate allocation, 100%. 100% of the time, if we pay attention to what our goal is. That's not to say you can't have an index fund. Goodness gracious. For those of you who are with the federal government, that's all you have. Does that mean you shouldn't put any money in the thrift plan? Of course not. But when you retire and you need to draw income, you got to move on. Because as I said, when you're drawing income from an index, it's just flat dangerous. Just flat dangerous. So when we think about this and we think about active versus passive, let's twist it on its head and talk about it on a risk perspective, especially in retirement. We got to think. It's not okay to just put stuff in. It sounds good. Run with academic research, because I'm looking at academic research. Piles of it in front of me. Piles. Piles of it. When you take money out, it changes everything. So big, so much, I simply can't state it enough, talk about it enough, get all excited about it enough to express how different, how drastically changed your portfolio is when you start taking income. Averages don't matter, and you have to get that through our head, really, because we are linear. We are linear thinkers. You have to look at these numbers. You have to contemplate them. You run out of money with the same numbers one way, you wind up 12-fold the other. And these aren't made-up numbers. It's the real numbers. The real market returns from 65 through 2014. Active versus passive is a fair argument. It's a good argument. But it's very one-sided right now. Take a deep breath. Think about it before you completely unwind your portfolio, especially if you're taking income. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's Money Matters with Dave Petzel on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. Happy Labor Day weekend. I hope everybody's out having a great time. And let's go ahead and go right. Our number, 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Let's go right to the phone. Let's go to Linda. Linda, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Dave, what is this an automatic readjustment of the stock market? I can remember a couple of times where it's gotten this high, and something happens, and all of a sudden it drops down to maybe half of what it was, and then, you know, it comes slowly back up. But was this an artificial amount of you know, in the stock market, or was this a true contrast?
I don't think it's artificial any more than the market going up is artificial. And you know, when I talk about things like not making too much of something when it's, August and, you know, the end of summer when a lot of the trading desks are gone, a small volume can move things, but it's still real, right? You know, people say, well, the Federal Reserve propped up stock prices. Well, I can't say on one hand that any drop is not real. It's real. And it's caused by some very real factors. But what I'm trying to get, you know, I'm not saying that the Chinese slowdown isn't real. I think it's very real. And I think it's obviously going to have, I think, I know it will have an impact on global growth. I know for a fact that the economy is barely growing here. It is barely growing. It's growing, but barely. And the average person isn't doing as well. So these are all real things and real concerns. But what I'm saying is that the market having corrections is something that occurs just, it just doesn't, we don't know when, okay? So I don't want to say it occurs like, you know, a clock. It just kind of rolls around and we're going to have them. Because of the clock, we don't know when it's going to strike. It was 3 years, four years since 2011 that we've even had a 10% correction. Well, normally they occur once a year. And maybe it'll be this year we'll have two of them, right? You don't know when it's going to strike. And so but to think any of them are phony, they're not. They're real, and what causes them is, who knows? We just have an abundance of sellers, and then they'll point their fingers and say it's because of the Chinese, or it's because of the Fed, it's because of interest rates, whatever it is. But they'll look for the cause when it's really after the effect. In other words, the market's already down. Now we're looking for the cause of that, the culprit of why it happened. And so then in hindsight, that's why everything looks so obvious to us, because it does correct or go down, and then we go, see, it was because mortgages imploded. Yeah, well, you know, but that's easy to see in hindsight. It's hard to in advance. And that's why trying to time it is silly. And that's all I'm saying is don't try to time it. Just know it's going to happen and relax. Is that it, Linda?
Yeah, I've gotten very interested. I'm 70, and I'm one of those people that did not have a long-term cost of living raise.
Mm-hmm.
And having watched people that I knew really well, you know, go under in 2002, 2003, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And it dropped in, and I saw people panicking.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back up, and it's you know, it's not going to be consistent. I can't see any reason for it to be consistent.
No, it doesn't. It's not, because human beings aren't consistent, are they? And that's what drives markets. We're not consistent, and so no matter how many technicians show up and run squiggle charts around and tell me that the market has got some kind of a resistance level or a support level or some absurd double head top fake or whatever it is, you know, is just, to me, is just really babble. I just, wow, you guys really believe this stuff. It's human beings. We're human beings. So maybe in the short term, you can use the squigglies to tell you what the market's going to do hour to hour, minute by minute, which, of course, they can't. But over the long term, the economy growing, corporations growing, becoming bigger and bigger, making more money, that's the bottom line. I can't think of his name right now. We always call it the mother's milk of stock prices is profits. Profits. It's all about profits, and they're doing it. And they keep doing it, whether you want to call it phony or not, whether you want to try to time it or not. That's just silly. It's just silly. Linda, thank you. I've got to run to a commercial break, okay?
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. You have a great day. And, Mike, you hang on. We're going to be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Pezzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Dave@PetzoFinancial.net is our email address. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Hey, no problem. I guess I just wanted to start off by saying, you know, attitudes are contagious, and the way to follow that up is yours worth catching. And yours definitely is. And I appreciate your show and listening to all the weird hype and negative news all week long in the business world, it's refreshing to listen to you on Saturday mornings.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
That being said, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about index funds since you brought that up. About a year ago, Warren Buffett was asked, if ever you passed away, what would your wife want you to do, or what would you want your wife to do with all your money? And he said, I'd want her to put 95% of it in a Vanguard S&P 500 fund and the other 5% treasuries.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of made me think about at least considering that as part of a portfolio. And so I guess I kind of wanted to ask you about that for one thing. The second thing, too, this last week there was a guy on TV that said S&P index funds weren't good because they were, of course, weighted for the top 60 companies, and he said an equal-weighted S&P index fund would be better. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. But it's really not just the S&P. I think more of a broad base because you want to have small companies that are growing rapidly. In fact, if we really want to dig into academic research, your best bet is small cap value. You should put all your money there, which of course nobody's going to. These are tiny companies; many of them go out of business. It's you can't do all that, but they do outperform quite a bit their bigger brethren. Now, having said that, the S&P weighted, or there are whole market indices, you know, that Vanguard and others do have, right? And I think they're much better indices than a top weighted, only the biggest 60 or 70 companies have such overwhelming weight in the index, as I've mentioned many times. It makes it not a very good or diversified portfolio, if you will. But I don't disagree with Warren Buffett in the sense that, hey, if you can't trust me, like he says, what do you want your wife to do? Well, I don't know. I don't know who the manager is going to be when I'm gone or how to evaluate them and what if they change managers and things like that. So here's what I do trust. I trust the U.S. market. That's what he's saying. He's not saying there are not managers like himself that have just destroyed the index. So I do not have an issue when people are building money up, and I'm really just saying this too. If you want to be a passive investor while you're building your money up, that's fine. But once you start taking money out, please look at the numbers because it is a stunning, stunning turnaround in performance, and it is incredibly dangerous to take withdrawals from a set index. Very dangerous. So it has to be done very well. So Mike, I think that's really the gist of it. I don't have a problem if you want to go passive and you want to do that. I just think you also need to look at the numbers. Everything today is very one-sided. Why? Because passive investing has had a good run. But it would be like saying in 1999, it's crazy to buy dividend-paying stocks. Oh, yeah, that's what all the magazines told you. It's crazy to look for yield. You just want the growers. You need to put all your money in the XYZ super net fund, okay? That's what.
I'm not talking about my whole portfolio, but a percentage of it was the only reason I kind of started thinking about it. And then Fidelity did a study, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, and they said that the index was actually outperforming 75% of money managers. So that was another reason I started kind of looking in that direction a little bit, not changing my whole portfolio, but just a percentage of it. And then kind of went back to, you know, what you always say about, you know, it goes up 10% per year. Obviously, not every year it's 10%. But there again, then I kind of felt comfortable with the S&P 500 and doing, nibbling at that a little bit.
I don't think there's a problem with that. I really don't. I think it's okay for a small part. But all I'm saying is when we're looking at the research, there are many firms, large firms, that have beaten it, not with one manager, but multiple managers. So over long, long periods of time. And we're in one of those periods where, just like last year, was a particularly strange year. Why? Because a diversified portfolio did far worse than the S&P 500. And the smaller companies in the S&P 500 didn't do very well. What we're really saying when we say the S&P 500 is what are the, you know, giant, U.S. only stocks doing? That's that index. And it's a very small index, really, when you think about all the tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of stocks available in the world. We are going to focus only on 60 of them in one country. That is a very narrow focus. I don't have a problem with it, with a percentage, but I'm just telling people that to just make, be sure to look at the numbers. Really look at it, because a global index last year didn't do anything like the S&P 500, and probably your portfolio did better than you think if it's a diversified portfolio. And I know in years like this, diversification doesn't work. I've lived through a lot. Fortunately, I started this business 35 years ago. So I've seen a lot. I've seen 21% interest rates. I've seen stock market crashes. But what I remember a lot is the run-up in 1999, you know, the late 90s, but particularly in 1999, when everybody was just absolutely sure as could be, of what they were doing. And that was that you shouldn't be diversified. And boy, did diversification show itself to be a champion in 2000.
Yep.
It really did. But that's not where people were. That's why when we talk about the S&P going down 50%, 50 in 2000 through 2002, a diversified portfolio went down 15. 15. That doesn't require a huge comeback from a terrible bear market when you're down 15, but it sure requires you double from down 50 to get back to where you were. And the problem with that is that most people didn't go down 50. Mike, they went down 75 because they were buying the internet stocks in the NASDAQ, and those mutual funds were down 70 to 80%. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. So index, fine. As a part, just be careful. Make sure you're diversified, and the S&P 500 is not. Okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you do the same, Mike. A great question. Good. Thank you for calling. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Ken, I know you're going to hang on for us. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Final segment upcoming here. Hey, again, if you have any questions, comments, we'd love to hear from you. PetzoFinancial.com is a way to connect with us during the week, if you like internet. Obviously, you can call us. But if you want to shoot over a question, email, do it there. Also, we've got podcasts, we've got calculators, articles to help you with your financial planning. So right now, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to, I think Jim's back. Jim.
Yeah, Dave, how's it going again?
Good, good.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about 1999. I remember it well. Mm-hmm. I had one mutual fund that was up 50%, one that was up 70%, and I'm thinking, does anybody but me see anything wrong with this picture? And people were acting as if it were normal. People were quitting their productive jobs to become day traders.
They were.
It was madness.
It was madness. It really was. There's no question about that. And we forget that. See, we forget the past as if it was just like this little thing. But what we're going through now is either more dangerous or more positive or whatever it is. Our emotions get in the way so many times. It makes it so hard for us to learn, right, to learn the lessons.
The old adage from way back, and I love these old adages, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't, it's not like hitting the lottery. I mean, look, money isn't free. The government may print it, but, you know, the more the government prints, the more the inflation is, and then the less it's worth. So I don't know. People just need to whatever.
They need to chill out and look at the long term. Here's the thing, you know, about when people say money doesn't grow on trees, but in some ways, when I think of investing, when I think of that I can take money, and I have to go earn that. So I didn't go pick it off of a tree, but I go earn it. And if after my expenses, I've got a couple of bucks left over, I can go and I can literally look at and contemplate the world's greatest businesses. And I'm allowed to buy one share. I could buy 100 shares. In other words, I don't need a fortune. I can even have a diversified portfolio for $50 a month, a globally diversified portfolio. that to me, when you stop and you think about how difficult it is to make money, that is growing money on trees. That's free. I don't have to go out and create a business.
Well, you mean being a capitalist. I mean
being a capitalist and investing in the greatest corporate. That's what this game is.
It is.
I don't know why people get so frantically worried about temporary cuts when we have had decade after decade after decade after decade of experience of buying the world's greatest corporations, them paying me increasing income all the days of my life for me to do nothing but open my mail.
But to a large extent, I mean, over a period of time, I mean, they get spoiled. They think that it's automatic they'll make money in the stock market. I mean, you know, like you say, in the long run, it'll go up. But, I mean, you know, people just say, hey, this is a sure thing pretty much. And some people even think it's insured by the FDIC, you know. What do you mean? I can lose?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, and you can in the short term, and you can if you buy an individual company. But the whole market does go down temporarily, but it also has always gone back to all-time highs. And further, again, I'm trying to get us away. I'm trying every single day to both in my mind and anybody who will listen, stop thinking about stocks as if it's a lottery ticket, but really this, not just a lottery ticket. Stop thinking about your investment performance based solely on price movement. If we focus on the S&P 500 or even better, dividend-paying stocks, then we understand it's an income story. It's a growth of income story. Dividends go up over time. They always have.
Yeah,
forget
about
price movement. We can't, but that's what people focus on, unfortunately, is that short-term price movement.
But if people would just keep in mind, basically, the 10%, and if something goes up 50%, what's wrong with this picture, you know? I mean,
yeah.
if a company is paying a dividend of 10%, that's a little bit high. So, you know, I mean, they need to just, you know, risk is attached to all this kind of thing, and, you know.
Well, it is.
Basic economic rules.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway, take care.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Thanks.
You too, thanks.
You know, it is absolutely astounding how and where we focus. It is to me. Absolutely astounding. And so human. Why not focus on price? That's the easy thing to see. Isn't it true in all things in life, we don't lean towards doing the hardest thing, to understand the hardest thing. We have to work at it and think about it. But a rising stream of income is precisely what stocks have done for decades. Now, once in a while, you'll have an entire sector like 2008 where financial stocks get crushed and they stop paying dividends. And dividends decline slightly for the overall market as measured by the S&P 500. And dividends aren't guaranteed. Thankfully, they're not guaranteed because that way they can keep going up as corporations make more money. If we could only somehow pull away and look at the magic of increasing income and the magic that has been created by that, because if we think about it, there just simply has not been an income-generating machine like the stock market, like stocks, equities. Nothing's done that. Nothing even close to that. But people don't see it that way. And if we can somehow twist that and turn and think about it, we all look at our price and we look at our value and, oh my gosh, it's not the same. Price is price. Value is what we receive. Well, we're out of time. I hope everybody does have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Enjoy your families, and we'll talk to you live next week. Have a great weekend.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzl Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Pezzo and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee